It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, winter doesn't officially start for another couple of weeks, but we're already seeing winter and holiday beers in stores. We'll talk to an expert about these seasonal brews.
First, heroin and opiate drug abuse have been a growing problem in Wisconsin in recent years. From 2008 to 2012, 56 of Wisconsin's 72 counties saw an increase in opioid-related hospitalizations for people ages 12 to 25. And Wisconsin's rate of drug-related deaths nearly doubled from 2004 to 2012, and many of those deaths were attributed to abuse of opiates.
Addicts are not the only ones impacted by their habits, with friends and family, as well as the community as a whole, seriously affected. One Wisconsin lawmaker has taken this issue on in large part because of his own daughter's struggles with heroin.
Jesse O'Poyan covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. Her article on heroin in Wisconsin was published today on Madison.com, and it's linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Jesse, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard a lot of data about opiate abuse and its impact, but can you sum up for us how big an impact heroin is having in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on some of the biggest and I guess most jarring statistics, but we're just seeing those massive jumps, and I guess it generally starts with opioid drugs and spirals into heroin use, and all of those numbers are growing up. So we're seeing, as people have been dealing with the heroin crisis, some of that use is actually going down, or at least heroin is harder to find in some counties, but law enforcement is saying, you know, prescription drug abuse is still growing.
Is it possible to trace back when heroin became a problem in Wisconsin to look and say, here's where it took off, and this is why?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that contributed, and you know, you can kind of look back and say all of these different things were happening, all of these different factors occurred to kind of let this storm brew over a number of years. So it was definitely sort of the early to mid 2000s, and a number of things, in part sort of nationally, prescription painkillers just became a lot more commonly prescribed for things like chronic pain, as opposed to being more designated for end-of-life use as they used to be. At the same time, the drug cartel distribution in the U.S. kind of changed, and the U.S. used to get most of its heroin from Asian cartels. It has started getting it more from Central and South America, and you know, it's crossing a shorter border, so it's becoming more pure. Kind of all of those things combining, just the prevalence of both, and when prescription drugs are harder to get, then people tend to turn to heroin.
Now, you tell this story through the eyes of recovering addicts and also through their families, and two of the people affected are Representative John Nygren of Marinette and also his daughter Cassie. Can you tell us a little bit about their story?
Yeah, and I should actually say I went to school with Cassie, so this was a kind of a personal thing for me too. But so Cassie started using, she started taking OxyContin when she was in high school, and it was given to her by a friend. She'd gone through some things, and it helped her sort of feel numb, and she liked that feeling. And in Marinette, where we're all from, there was a doctor around that time who was writing unauthorized prescriptions. It was very easy to get prescription drugs illegally for a short time. Eventually, he was sent to prison, and people turned to heroin. She was one of those people. So she overdosed a few years later, was sent to prison, served her time, came out and asked her dad if he could do something, because when she was there, she started to see there were a lot of people like her, a lot of young women, girls who had come from good homes, you know, had had all the things going for them that are supposed to keep you from doing drugs when you're growing up. And, you know, they're being sent to prison for first offense on heroin.
Now, John Nygren isn't just a dad. He's a legislator. He's in the Assembly, and he used this as a spur to get a lot of new initiatives, a lot of new bills across, and he's working on more. Tell us what he's done so far in the state.
Yeah, so far, in 2014, he had a package of bills that passed with unanimous bipartisan support, which I know you all know is fairly rare in Wisconsin in politics right now. But that first package of bills, it allows emergency responders to administer Narcan, which is a drug that reverses the effect of an overdose. It included a provision that allows people to have limited immunity if they're calling 911 or taking someone to an ER for an overdose. It requires people to use a photo ID to pick up prescription narcotics, and it encourages cities to hold prescription drug drives. You know, you can turn in your old prescriptions when you're done. And that also increased some money for treatment and diversion programs like drug courts.
We're talking right now with Jessie Opoyan. She covers state government and politics for the Capital Times, taking a look at Wisconsin's struggle with heroin. There's a piece of hers in the paper today, and it's linked on the Central Time Facebook page. And Jessie, what's on the horizon as far as legislation? You get at this again through the stories, and you heard from Cassie, for example, about what she thought might be needed going forward. What is up ahead?
Yeah, so while the first round of bills deal a lot with heroin specifically, there's a second package that was introduced this session that gets a lot more at the prescription drug aspect of this. So some of it's kind of in the weeds, requiring doctors who are prescribing narcotics to update. It's a prescription drug monitoring database, the PDMP. So they have to update that more quickly within 24 hours, and they need to check that before they prescribe prescription narcotics to a patient for the first time. Along with that, if police find a prescription drug container at, say, an overdose scene or a drug-related crime scene, they have to notify the person who prescribed those drugs that they found it. It also includes some measures to monitor pain management clinics under the Department of Health Services and asking methadone clinics to start tracking data and reporting it to the state. And there's a lot more to be done in terms of treatment facilities and expanding access to detox, things like that, but this is sort of what they're getting at this time around.
And what kind of role are drug courts playing in tackling heroin problems in Wisconsin?
Yeah, drug courts, and especially in Marinette County, which I focus on a little bit in the story, but they're growing. They're a lot more popular throughout the state, and they allow people to kind of go through a more personalized program that focuses a lot on treatment. So the goal is to have people coming out both sober and also not committing criminal activity anymore. So it can be, it's only for nonviolent offenders. So people who are being arrested maybe for first time use, not a violent crime, and they can go in. They might be sentenced to some jail time, but they'll be paired up with, you know, treatment, some people to do some individual counseling, maybe some group counseling. There might be drug therapy involved, drugs like Vivitrol or Suboxone that limit the cravings or limit the receptors that are feeling the effects of the opiates, kind of finding the right combination of things to help people get off the drugs, stay off the drugs, and stay out of crime.
And staying off the drugs, it's hard. Time and time again, in talking to the people you talk to in this story, the recovering addicts, you hear that it's not so easy, that it's something that it's almost expected that there are going to be setbacks and relapses. What did you hear about that part of it?
Yeah, it's incredibly easy, and it's definitely expected. And so even in drug courts that are having a lot of success in this right now, they know that it's absolutely likely and very possible that some of the people who are going through these programs will relapse. And for different people, I mean, everyone I talked to who had used or had a family member who had used drugs, it's something different that works for everyone. You know, for Cassie, she's going through drug court, and she's taking Vivitrol, which helps block the cravings and block those receptors. You know, for another man that I spoke with, he's been going to 12-step meetings and gone through a treatment facility, and that helped him. But there's no one magic bullet for everyone.
And for Cassie Nygren, let's wind up with her. She's, of course, the daughter of Representative John Nygren, and you spoke with her about where she is. She's been a spokesperson for recovery from heroin. Where is she right now?
Yeah, and so she actually, after she kind of came out as that spokesperson, she did relapse again, which is what put her in the drug court now. But she is right now working as a waitress. She's living in Green Bay. She's going through drug court. She's getting treatment. And, you know, every day is a new challenge, but she's doing pretty well right now.
Jessie, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Jessie Opoyan. She covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. Her article about Wisconsin's struggle with heroin was published today on Madison.com, and it's linked on the Central Time Facebook page.